Welcome to This Is Baseball.
I'm Brandon Johnson. It is April 16th, so we are past tax season, into the middle of the month, and season's well underway. Got a lot to get into this week. We have an update on the Shohei Ohtani, Ippi Mizuhara theft case, more MLB uniform nonsense between Nike, Fanatics, Major League Baseball. It's really just all bad. We'll get into that in a little bit. Legendary broadcaster John Sterling announced his retirement. We'll get into some teams that I think we can definitely say this is not their year. It's a short list that I have felt confident that I can write off for the remainder of 2024. We'll take a deeper look at the AL Central, where all those teams stand, and talk some Royals. Again, I am Brandon Johnson. Thank you for tuning in this week. Let's get into it. So, to get back to the Shohei Ohtani, Ippi Mizuhara case, this is from DodgersNation.com. Shohei Ohtani, interpreter charged with fraud. Ippi Mizuhara stole more than $16 million per the Department of Justice. The investigation alleges that Mizuhara transferred more than $16 million from Ohtani's bank account to an illegal sports book. Now, remember when this first broke, we thought it was in the range of more like $4 million. Now, obviously, $16 million is significantly more than four. So this is a pretty big deal, and this has been going on for a while. According to this, Mizuhara helped Ohtani set up a bank account in 2018. So right there, Mizuhara has access to the bank account. Put those pieces together. In 2021, that's when the bets began taking place with the illegal bookmaker. Over time, the bets got larger, and he ended up making thousands in wagers. And any of his winnings went into Mizuhara's personal bank account, not into Ohtani's. Now, there is a couple of texts that were revealed from Ippi Mizuhara that he texted his bookmaker after the scandal broke in March. So the one that was probably the most important was Mizuhara said, "Technically, I did steal from him," him being Shohei Ohtani, which pretty much makes Shohei Ohtani innocent in all of this. He is admitting, Mizuhara, that he stole from Ohtani right there. Quote, "Technically, I did steal from him." Now, this is a CBSSports.com article. The U.S. Attorney's Office obtained records of telephone calls in which Mizuhara allegedly spoke to bank employees and falsely claimed to be Ohtani, including providing biographical information in order to ensure the bank would approve the wire transfers. Now, I want to read a tweet. This is from Joe Pompliano. Ippi Mizuhara allegedly placed 19,000 wagers between December of 2021 and January 2024, according to the Department of Justice. Average bet, 12,800. Winning bets, 142 million. Losing bets, 182 million. Total losses, 40 million. The Department of Justice says he never bet on baseball. So, sounds like Ippi Mizuhara, you know, while he's doing these highly illegal activities, didn't cross the line and bet on baseball games. Because this was when this news broke that, oh, if we find out that Shohei Ohtani is part of this and baseball games are being bet on, Shohei Ohtani is toast. He's done. He's going to get the Pete Rose treatment. Banned from baseball. All of this has come out now that Shohei Ohtani was stolen from and he's a victim in this case. And it's unfortunate because Mizuhara and Shohei Ohtani were best friends. They were together pretty much all the time. This was somebody that Shohei Ohtani was supposed to trust and felt that he could trust. And Ippei Mizuhara abused that trust and did some terrible things that are now coming to light. And he's now paying the consequences for actions that he chose to make. Now, if there's more to that story, we'll obviously get into it at a later time. But I want to hop into more MLB uniform nonsense. We've kind of talked about it before, where Nike and Fanatics made major changes to the Major League Baseball uniforms this season, and they have been kind of universally given negative reviews, with the lettering and the fabric being, the lettering being small and the fabric being, you know, see-through. A lot of the road uniforms have mismatched grays. The Dodgers specifically, the jersey and the pants, but the gray not matching. A Brewers player the other day had to borrow a ball boy's pants for their City Connect uniform because his pants were not the right size, so he had to wear a ball boy's pants. Multiple teams actually still don't even have their City Connect uniforms and haven't been able to debut them yet this season because they are not in stock. I don't know how you don't have something in stock that is important for Major League Baseball teams across the country, but that's exactly what's happening. Now, Nike has been quoted in saying that they're testing different options with the uniforms to make the fabric better and maybe to make them more soak resistant, because especially with the grays, the road grays, these players start sweating and their jerseys are just drenched in sweat and they're just like essentially soaked throughout the game. So they're testing options to help absorb that better. And there's no really further explanation on what exactly they're testing or even what a timeline is on these potential changes and fixes for the uniform. Something that should really be one of the last things on a team's mind is, are our uniforms ready? Are we getting the right stuff? Am I going to sweat through it? Is it going to be see-through? Just, you know, things that you shouldn't have to worry about as a player. Now, John Sterling, the legendary broadcaster, most notably with the New York Yankees, he's been with them since 1989, has announced that he is retiring. He is the announcer that has the iconic Yankees win call whenever the Yankees win their games, and he's retiring. He's 85 years old and has accomplished what he has set out to do in his career, and so he's calling it a day. So congratulations to him. He's obviously legendary, and he'll be missed in the booth. Baseball Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog has passed away at the age of 92. He was a manager with the Texas Rangers, California Angels, Kansas City Royals, and most notably the St. Louis Cardinals, who he won a championship with in 1982, has passed away at the age of 92. We are thinking of the Herzog family while they're grieving the loss of their loved one. Texas Rangers top pitching prospect Jack Leiter, son of Al Leiter, just got called up by the Texas Rangers, and he is set to make his major league debut on Thursday against the Detroit Tigers. He was drafted by the Rangers in 2021. Leiter has pitched three games so far in the minors this year. He's 1-1. He has a 3.77 ERA. He's pitched 14 innings, 25 strikeouts in those 14 innings, and a whip of 0.98. So he's been throwing the ball really well for Round Rock Express, the Rangers AAA affiliate. And man, 25 strikeouts in 14 innings is insane. So make sure to watch him on Thursday make his major league debut against the Detroit Tigers. Now, I said earlier that I have a list of teams that I feel confident that I can already write off for the rest of 2024. And I'll go over teams that, you know, aren't doing well, but I'm not ready to say they're not, I'm not ready to say that they're done. And I think, like, looking at the Astros, they're 6-12. I think that they have everything in them to turn that around. Inside, like, the Cardinals are 8-9. I still think that they have a pretty good chance of winning their division. But let's get into some teams that are done by, and it's only mid-April, and it's a list of three, and two of them are in the National League, one of them is in the American League. It is the Miami Marlins, the Colorado Rockies, and the Chicago White Sox. And I'll start with the Marlins, because that's a team that I actually thought had the potential to do pretty well this season, and I was incredibly wrong. Most of their issues have come from the pitching staff. It's a pitching staff that has suffered injuries, but they've also been just one of the worst pitching staffs in the league. Their starting rotation has had an ERA over 5. Their bullpen has not done anything to really help them be successful. They've blown a lot of leads late in games and just aren't giving their team a chance to win. And obviously, pitching is arguably the most important thing that you can have on your team. Good pitching, that is. And right now, the Marlins don't have that, and they're sitting at a record of 3-14. Now, I just talked about how bad the Miami Marlins pitching was. Well, the Rockies are even worse. They have the worst ERA in all of baseball, sitting at 5.93, just under 6, obviously. They're 4-13 as a record. Their whip is the worst in the league at 1.7. Their average against is also worse in the league, 2.94. So they're really just not having a good time from a pitching perspective out in Colorado. Now, offensively, they're basically middle of the pack out in Colorado. They're not the worst, but they're definitely not the best. But their woes really start with their pitching staff. Now, in Colorado, maybe their offense isn't the biggest problem with that roster, but I can tell you that for the White Sox, that is most of the problem. They have the worst offense in the league. Actually, until yesterday, they had the worst average in all of baseball at 195. Now they're at 196 as a team average. The Twins are actually worse than the White Sox from an average standpoint at 194, but White Sox, just they aren't getting on base, of a on base percentage of 268. They're also not slugging. Their slugging percentage is 300. So yeah, they have no pop on that team. They just signed Tommy Pham to get some help offensively, and no offense to Tommy Pham, but if you're signing him to give your roster a jolt, then you are absolutely desperate for the help. The Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox are all three in for a very, very long season and really just getting started. So buckle up if you're part of that fan base. And I can tell you that I've been there as a Royals fan as recently as a year ago. It is not a fun place to be. But that's not the case with the Royals this year. Actually, the Royals this year have been incredibly fun. They are sitting at 11-6. Second place in the American League Central. They're half a game back. Obviously, 11-6 is an incredibly small sample size, but if you look at what the Royals were doing a year ago, they were horrendous. They've won 11 games already this season. They didn't win 11 games in 2023 until the middle of May, so obviously a drastic improvement. I said a couple weeks ago that the Royals only brought 7 starters back from the 2023 squad into 2024, so they definitely had a big overhaul on the roster, and it has paid off so far. The Royals have the highest run differential in all of baseball at plus 39, which obviously means that they're scoring a lot of runs and they're not giving up a ton of runs. And if you need a comparison for somebody that's on the opposite end of this, the Chicago White Sox, who I just talked about, are sitting at minus 53 for their run differential, which is the worst in the league by about 20 runs. So just to further kind of prove that the White Sox are not having fun, Royals are tied for 5th in home runs hit this season. So definitely slugging, hitting the ball out of the ballpark, hard hit baseballs, extra base hits. It's a team that is just doing well, and it feels like they are for real. And I know that I'm going to do a lot of talking about the Royals, where I think this time last year I was already kind of over talking about them. But obviously I want to talk about teams that are good, and the Royals right now were good. And we'll take it one step at a time. If we get to a point where it gets away from them and we need to move away from talking about them, then we will. But right now they are a team worth paying attention to. They're a team worth talking about. They have the second best ERA in all of baseball at 2.86. They are top 10 in WHIP. The pitching staff has 3 shutouts so far this season. Now, for context, the Royals had 6 shutouts all of 2023, so already a significant improvement. They're already halfway to what they did last year. And I don't know if these numbers are sustainable for the Royals pitching staff all season long, but 3 weeks into the season, it feels pretty good to feel like this pitching staff is headed in the right direction and can be the reason that this team is going to be competitive throughout the season. As I stated earlier, pitching is one of the most important aspects of a roster. So the Royals overhauling their pitching staff and bringing in players like Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo to help solidify a rotation and be part of a Cole Reagans and Brady Singer rotation, it's just gone super well so far. And the American League Central, I've said it before, I think is a winnable division. I think, let's say the Twins do win the division and they win 85 games, and that's enough to win the Central, which I don't think the Twins are winning, but hypothetically, Twins win the division, 85 wins. If the Royals win, let's say 81 games, they go 500, they're 81-81. Well, that means they finished 4 games out of first place. They missed the playoffs by 4 games. And if they missed the playoffs by 4 games, that means that Kansas City was paying attention to them in May, in June, after the All-Star break, after the trade deadline. They were paying attention to them during September when the Chiefs started playing regular season football. And that's exactly what you need to happen if you're the Royals, is you need your fan base to be interested before OTAs happen in NFL. And I think, again, I'm going to say it a lot, hopefully, that this team has the meaning to, or has the making of being a team that can win this division and possibly go on a playoff run. And I hope that June 1st, I'm still saying this, and I'm talking about the Royals being buyers at the trade deadline. Who can we add to our roster to help us solidify this opportunity? What holes do we have? What prospects can we give up to get major league ready talent to help a team that's ready to compete in October? That's what I want to be talking about come July. Now, I want to close the show, talk a little bit of Royals Stadium news. I know that this podcast has kind of become the stadium location podcast, but if we hear news about something, we're going to talk about it. So obviously the Royals wanted a downtown stadium in the Crossroads District in downtown Kansas City. They took it to a vote. The public said no. So the Royals had to kind of go back to square one. Well, yesterday, the Kansas City manager Brian Platt, in an interview, said the city is in talks with both teams and will take the lead on future negotiations, displacing Jackson County government from that role. So if you're close to Kansas City, you know that the Royals were negotiating with Jackson County. Frank White, former Royals Hall of Famer, number retired by the Royals, fired by the Royals. He was part of those negotiations. He was kind of holding up a lot of stuff for the Royals to get this stadium thing going. He at one point vetoed the special election for the stadium tax that got overturned by Jackson County. This guy is just been trying to get in the way due to a personal vendetta that he has with the Royals himself. Now, the Royals aren't innocent either. They didn't do a good job of campaigning for this downtown stadium. They kept changing plans. They weren't very transparent about really anything that was going to be happening. They were making changes to the plans a week prior to the April 2nd vote. So there was a lot of going on. It was a big mess, but this is saying that Kansas City is going to take the place and the Royals might not have to deal with Jackson County at all, which means they don't have to deal with Frank White at all, which is good for the Royals because it's probably not good for them to have to deal with somebody that doesn't want to act in good faith with the Royals. So Brian Platt again said the city's in talks with both teams being the Royals and the Chiefs, by the way, that the city will take place leading future negotiations. And Platt also suggested that the next deal for a downtown ballpark might not require a public vote. Now, that could mean a couple things. It could mean somehow privately funding it. It could mean getting that money from just other various channels. We don't really know yet because that was just a very small quote. And I got that from Royals Review on Twitter, if you're looking for that. But we don't know. But it feels to me like this downtown stadium is going to get done. I still have a lot of hope that the Crossroads spot is going to get done. And that's actually where the Kansas City manager and Mayor Quentin Lucas have been wanting this to go. And that's still in their mindset that the Crossroads is the best spot for a stadium. I tend to agree with that. Now, again, a long way to go, and we'll have to see kind of what the plan is to get that to happen if it's not going to require a public vote. But I'm excited to be part of the ride and to see what happens with that. Now, that is all I have this week on This Is Baseball. Thank you so much for listening. I will catch you next week.